So dis 'n absolute voorreg vir ons om vanmiddag vir een van die founding members vir OMD saam met ons te hê via Zoom, al die pad uit die UK uit. Paul Humphries, how are you, sir?
I'm very, very well, thank you. I just got back from the European leg of our tour, which finished at the weekend. So I've got a week off, so yay.
Fantastic. Just get home. I know that European tour, you guys did the UK and Ireland. All of the shows from looking at your website were sold out. Are you still surprised when you guys are selling out shows? I mean, you did the O2 and everything.
Yeah, it is a little surprising that we're selling out. I mean, it's a strange thing because our popularity seems to be growing at the moment, particularly in the live situation. You know, it's amazing how many people are coming to see us. We're moving into arenas now. We were never really an arena band. We used to like to play giant theaters, you know, for 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, but now we've jumped into arenas playing to, you know, up to 10,000, 12,000, and it's nuts, really. I don't quite know why, but you know, I'm not here to question it. I'm very happy.
does it take a toll now on the body, or are you still rocking it?
Oh, we're still rocking it. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we just have to have a good old nap before we go on stage. You know, we have to have an old man nap before we go on stage, and then we're like, we go out there and just rock the house.
So, Paul, let's go all the way back to the late 70s. Can you tell us where it all started for you guys?
Yeah, it started actually with Andy and I. We discovered German music. That's where it all began, really. We discovered Kraftwerk, Neuler, Düsseldorf. Basically, anything that was coming out of Germany, we found fascinating. We wanted to make music, but we didn't want to make traditional rock music. We were bored with sort of rock cliches and stuff. So we were looking for something that sounded like the future. And what was coming out of Germany sounded like the future to us. So So we wanted to kind of, and we were kids at the time, we were like 15, 16, you know. So we kind of wanted to be Kraftwerk because we thought they were, you know, it was like massive, incredible music for the future, you know. But we couldn't because we were two working class boys from Liverpool who had absolutely no money, and synthesizers were incredibly expensive. So we had to I'm an electronics geek. I used to make our early synthesizers and noise machines, as we used to call them. And we used to buy whatever we could find in junk shops, like, you know, old organs and electric pianos, and process them through all kinds of things. So we were kind of like junk shop Kraftwerk, but in a sense, we were defining the OMD sound, and it was kind of good that we couldn't afford all that technology, because I think as kids we probably would have been sort of pretend Kraftwerk, but we had to forge our own sound, which became OMD, you know.
It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I read at some stage when you guys were just starting out with the junk shop instruments, Andy had a left-handed bass that he needed to play upside down.
Yeah, well, he got some money in for his birthday, but it wasn't quite enough to buy the right-handed bass that was in the store. Because no one really, you know, left-handed basses, you know, were always cheaper than the right-handed basses. So he could only afford the left-handed bass. So we always played it upside down. Until this day, he plays a right-handed bass now, but with the strings upside down.
So, oh, my goodness.
You see professional bass players looking at him that we play with on festivals and stuff, looking at his bass going, that's not right. That doesn't look right. What's wrong? And he has to tell the story.
But then you guys went from being a young band with virtually none of your own gear and scraping together a few pounds to make it work to, you know, dropping electricity. And then, you know, after that, getting signed, getting a record contract worth £250,000. I mean, what was that like? Here you guys are, from nothing to this insane large amount of money.
Yeah, it was insane, really. But, you know, because our first OMD gig was, it was a dare. We were two kids daring each other to go on stage. And so it was only ever going to be one gig, really, is what we thought. So we went to Eric's Club in Liverpool. We knew that was the place. They had an open mic night on a Thursday night. And so, you know, we knocked on the door and said, you know, can we play our weird electronic music on your open mic night? And amazingly, he said, yes. And he said, what are you called? And we said, I don't know. So we ran into Andy's house. He said, well, you got 2 hours to come up with the name of the band. And so we went around to Andy because he's printing up posters, you know, for the show. So we went around and we chose Orchestral Winners in the Dark because it was a song title that we hadn't written. We thought, oh, that's weird enough. It doesn't matter. It's for one gig. And then we did that one show and then that someone saw us there and sent us over to Manchester. And that's where we met a guy from Factory Records who wanted to put out Electricity. And then blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, you know, we were two kind of no hope kids with a career, and we signed this massive record deal, but we still didn't believe it. We still didn't believe in ourselves. So we got this big advance, as you said, the big load of money, but we were budgeting for failure. So what we did was we spent most of the money on building a massive luxury recording studio in Liverpool, because at that time that would be a good business to have. So we thought, at least when the record company dump us after the first album no one buys, we'll have a business.
Yeah.
And so... so no one's more surprised than us. I mean, we just passed our 45th anniversary in October 12th last year.
That's 45. Right.
Congratulations.
So, Paul, you mentioned that you chose the name thinking that you were just going to do one gig. So has the name grown on you guys after all these years, or do you still regret it?
I mean, it's a kind of preposterous name for a band, really, you know, but you know, I grew to like it in the end. And in fact, you know, journalists, lazy journalists who didn't want to type Orchestral Winners in the Dark started calling us OMD, and we kind of accepted that for a while. But we've kind of gone back to wanting to be Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark again. So on all our records, we put Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, or, you know, if it doesn't fit, we put a fee reluctantly, you know, but we like to be Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Paul, so when we take it back to the early 90s, you know, the whole music scene kind of changed. It was very much guitar oriented, a little bit more grunge. The Britpop bands were starting to get on the scene a little bit. And then the synth pop genre that you guys kind of fit into started fading out. So you guys decided to take a bit of a break. And then, you know, you guys got back together in, I think it's 1996. Now, when you guys take a break like that, is it easy to remain friends in terms of the band because you went through a whole bunch of lineup changes as well?
Yeah, I mean, the band stopped in 1995, and then around 2000, actually, yeah, the band stopped for those reasons that Britpop kind of took over and electronic music was more sort of consigned to the 80s. It was like a past genre. And there was so it was difficult being an electronic band in the 90s, which is why it all collapsed, really. But
interject there, you didn't want to move into a different genre. You didn't feel that you wanted to do that. Why did you just feel you wanted to stay in the genre you were?
Yeah, we've always been kind of true to our roots. And I think even more so now. Well, even more true to our very, very sort of purest electronic roots. But, I mean, you know, bands, they did adapt. Like Depeche managed to adapt. Mm. They kind of got into more sort of gothic stuff and more sort of guitars adding to their electronics. And they managed to ride that wave. But we were just too stubborn to ride that wave. but we got into the 2000s and... people got interested in electronic music again, and the phone started ringing, and Andy and I kept talking, shall we get the band back together? But, you know, Andy was doing his Atomic Kitten project, and I had a project with a German singer, Claudia Brucken from Propaganda, and it was never quite the right time to get the band back together. And then we got offered a German TV show because The Maid of Orleans was... one of the biggest hits of all time in Germany, and it was like the greatest hits of Germany TV show. And we all phoned each other up and said, shall we do that? We've been offered the show. Shall we just meet for a weekend in Cologne? We work for 4 minutes. We'll drink lots of beer, and we'll all get a chance to hang out again. And when we spent that weekend together, we realized how much we missed each other and how much we missed OMD. So we thought, you know, let's just put some shows on sale. This was 2005. And let's put some shows on sale, see what happens. And So we put 9 shows on sale and they sold out, and it turned into 49 shows, into 59 shows. And then all of a sudden we were doing OMD again.
Well, now, throughout your musical careers, I mean, it feels like you guys were a bunch of, you know, very hipster youngsters, you know. You guys were writing about it. It was very much war-inspired, and what was going on in politics around the world. That's a thread that's even prominent in your new music, in your 2023 album that came out last year, Bauhaus Staircase, where one of the songs was actually, you know, it kind of had a little bit of Putin vibes and Donald Trump and all of those guys. So what is the
Boris Johnson?
In...
You know, we wanted to trash Boris Johnson in there as well, but
yeah. But what is the interest there? I think we're in politics.
We've become angry old men, I think, is what's happened. But I mean, I think we've always been into politics, and yes, there's a lot of war themes. You see, growing up in the 60s, the Second World War was not that far away from the end of the Second World War, from our youth, you know, and our parents were involved in it. You know, my dad was a prisoner of war. He ended up in a prison camp in Germany, forced to work for the Nazis as a lumberjack, and so there was all these stories from my family and also Andy's of the war, and so that kind of spilled into us being more aware of sort of the world affairs, and like Dazzle Ships was about the Cold War, really, with Russia, most of that. So we have touched on these themes, and you know, Enola Gay is a kind of anti-nuclear war song, you know. So
yeah.
So you know, we've always kind of touched on these things. But I think recently, with the new album, we've become more overt in our sort of political, you know, we haven't been hiding it so much, our views, you know. And there's lots of themes on the, you know, we're concerned about global warming. So we have the Anthropocene song and the evolution of species, you know. So we've kind of, you know, touching more. But the thing is, we always hated rock and roll cliches, which is why we got into making B.I. Love You, you know, Why Did You Leave Me, and all these kind of songs. We thought there was enough of those songs around. So we kind of followed Kraftwerk's sort of theme of writing songs about interesting things that fascinate you and may resonate with people that there aren't songs about, you know. So we've always looked for interesting subject matter that isn't just the standard love song.
So, Paul, you've got a break now from your tour across the UK and Ireland, but you're soon coming to South Africa. We're super excited about that. When was your last trip to South Africa?
I think it was, I should have looked this up before the interview, but I think it was like 10 or 12 years ago. It was too long ago anyway. But we had a fantastic time, and I had a life-changing time when I was there, because I went to, after the tour ended in Johannesburg, I went to Kruger Park and went on safari. And it was the most amazing experience. I still talk about it to this day with, you know, boring people about it, because I was so fascinated.
Did you see the big five?
Yeah, absolutely saw the big five, yeah. And so I would love to go back. I don't have time to do a safari on this trip, but I would still like to go back. I've got a younger daughter. I have a lockdown baby. So she's 3 years old now. So when she's a little bit older, I'd love to take her on safari.
Yeah, I wanted to say she's not going to enjoy 5-6 hours in the car. So what can fans expect to see?
I mean, we're not one of these bands who are embarrassed about our hits. You know, there are some bands that you know, they reluctantly play their big hits, you know, or they do some kind of remix version or an acoustic version of their hit because they're bored with playing it. We're not like that. Our songs are like our babies, you know, and they're our children, and we love them, and we love them as they are, you know. So we like to give, and also what we believe is that music is that is like when you hear music, it's like time capsules, you know, it's like you time travel with music, particularly if you play a song in the same way as it was recorded or as close to it as you can get. That way you can, you know, you hear a song and you remember where you were when you first heard it, and there's all of these associated memories of happy times, sad times, you know. And we like to give people that experience. I mean, I remember when Andy and I, we went to see Kraftwerk, and they played the whole of their Radioactivity album, which was the blueprint for OMD, really, that record. And they played it just like the record. I remember Andy coming up to me and shaking me, going, Paul, I'm 15 back in your mum's back room listening to this. He was time traveling, you know. So we like to kind of give people the same experience. So we're going to be playing a lot of our hits, a lot of the songs that people, we'll be playing probably most songs that people want to hear. But we'll be doing some interesting things and breaking it up a bit as well. We'll be playing a few songs from the new album, I think, as well. But basically, we'll be playing everything that people want to hear.
Well, Paul, we can't wait for you guys to come visit us in April and, you know, transport us back to the good old 80s, mm-hmm. when it feels like times were a little bit easier, depending on where you were in the on the planet. But we're really looking forward to it. And thank you for taking time to chat to us today.
It was great talking with you both. You take care, yeah?